Okay. I got three questions for you guys to meditate on. You don't have to give me an answer right now, or you can just write them down and think about them as we go through the lesson or whatever today. First is, what does influence mean to you? So you can write that down. Huh? What does influence mean to you? Just write the question down, just so you can think about it. Second, for the sake of today's lesson, the three figures that I showed you guys, we will assume that none of them was saved. So then the question is, what is the difference between their influence and a believer or a born-again believer's influence? What is the difference between their influence, so like the lost world, you can say, and a believer or a saved person's influence? And then the last one I got for you is, what are two ways in which you can be an influence for someone to the kingdom of God? That was, what are two ways in which you can be an influence for someone to the kingdom of God? So this is just something for you guys to meditate on or ponder after today or while we're going through this. What is the difference between the lost world's influence and a born-again believer's influence? So get your Bibles out if you got one. If not, we'll pass them around.
What's the second one? What's the difference between the influence of the lost world versus the influence of a born again believer?
Who needs the Bible? Katrina? Hallie? No? That's so everybody else has one?
Wow.
Let's go. Hey, I should have brought more candy. All right, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5.
The Sermon on the Mount?
Yep. And we're going to be looking in particular at verses 13 and 14. Well, when you get there, raise your hand. Katrina. You want to read them?
Sure.
13 and 14.
Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt that blotteth its savor wherewith shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill is not good.
Okay. Hallie, the Sermon on the Mount, to give you guys context as to what's going on here. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and the Beatitudes, and then there's the parables. So the first part of what we read, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What does that like mean to you? What do you guys think is being said here? Anybody have any ideas? Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You are the salt of the earth. Yeah, right? That's where we're going. That's where we're going. You are the salt of the earth. He's referring to he's talking to his disciples, so he's referring to them, the saved people, or believers. You are the salt of the earth. And what is salt used for? Brenda already just kind of said, but back in this time, salt was used to preserve and to enhance the flavor of stuff. I guess parable. You guys know what a parable is, right?
A story.
a story, a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Okay, so if we look at this metaphorically, Jesus is telling them to preserve his word and others by spreading his word. And to enhance, like, to enhance what? Like, to enhance the people around us. For, like, example, like, classmates, other church peers, lab partners, whoever that you have in your everyday life. So I guess this one you don't have to write down, but I got another question for you guys. Is what are you guys doing to enhance the people around you? Just something for you to ponder on. The word savor. What does that mean? Brenda already said the taste. It gives us the taste. So as a born-again believer, you have something that is different than the lost world. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Raise your hand when you got there. No one's going to raise it now, but... 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Brendan, go ahead.
Or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are brought with Christ, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God.
So, if you're saved or born again, you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It comes into you at the moment of salvation. What the Holy Spirit does for us is it seals our soul. It sets us apart for God's use. It bears witness to our salvation. It convicts us of our sins. It's what teaches us the Bible. Like, it's what teaches us the Bible. It's gives us direction in our decision making. So once you get saved, you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't lose that. You can not gain more of it, you know, but you can feed it and grow it, I guess, by spending time in the Word, by reading your Bible, by going to church, by, you know, what is it that the youth does? What are you going through with Jamie? Get a life, though. Like, going to get a life in discipleship is where I was going with that. So in short, you could say that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us our flavor, like our taste, our substance. So if you're not feeding the Holy Spirit, then you have lost your savor, so to speak. You're not growing. So if you don't, you know, if you're not growing your Holy Spirit, then what is the difference between your influence than, say, the influence of, like, Taylor Swift and Mr. Beast and Logan Paul? You know, people of the world. If you're not working on the Holy Spirit, not growing, not reading your Bible, then what makes your influence on your peers any different than theirs? So we'll look at a color. We're going to look at a couple of other examples where salt is likened to, like, its influence on others that are around us. So we're going to turn to Mark 9 and verse 50. If you held your spot in Matthew, it's just a little bit over. And when you get there, raise your hand, please. Hallie, go ahead.
Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another.
So, if we have been in a strong indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this allows us to have peace one with another. Having a strong indwelling of the Holy Spirit allows our influence on our peers to be one that is godly. It's hard to we're also going to turn to Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. raise your hand when you're there. Colossians 4, verse 6. When you're there, raise your hand. 4, verse 6. Anybody there? You there, Elias? You want to read it? Read it. Oh, come on.
May your speech be always with the grace, seasoned with sorrow, that ye may know how you ought to answer.
How you ought to answer. So he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought answer every man. So feeding your spirit, having a strong indwelling of the spirit, allows you to have the knowledge and the wherewithal to handle like any situation that God throws at you guys. If you're reading your Bible, if you're investing in yourself, growing yourself, when you get put in like a sticky situation, your friends ask you maybe to do something, or you're in a situation just where it's things aren't the way they should be. Having your Bible tucked away in your heart will help you to navigate that situation, and it will help you to influence the outcome of that situation. It'll be made exponentially easier. God will always navigate you through tough times. You just have to allow Him to do so. So now we'll turn back to Matthew. We'll turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Right where we started, verses 13 and 14. And does somebody want to read verse 14 if anybody's there? Somebody different? Go ahead.
You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. Turn. I know we're turning a lot. Sorry. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. Raise your hand when you get there. Go ahead, Katrina.
Wait, what verse?
5 through 7.
5-7. Then this is the most thing that you have done for him. And see, God is light, and there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie, but not the truth. But if we walk in the light, see of the light, we have fellowship one with another, and fellowship with Christ, the Son of God.
So if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we are saved, then we have Christ in us, and his light already resides in us. You can choose to let your light shine, or you can try to suppress it or hide it. When you're out and about with your friends or in a situation, you can, act one way or different than you do at church or whatever. But if you're truly saved and walking in the Lord, your light's going to shine no matter how hard you try to hide it. People will just know that you're different. It says a city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. So I got here. If you're truly walking with God, showing the Spirit, then you will be like a city. Set on a hill, you won't be able to hide it. So, as someone who is saved, you have an opportunity to be an influence, a godly influence, not just someone making videos on YouTube, handing away money, or just doing crazy things for likes. You have the power. Don't suppress that power. And you could have the ability to like invite people to church, invite people to youth events, to show your godliness by how you handle situations, not cursing when everybody else is cursing, or just being different than everybody else that is around you. Just by living your life and allowing your investment in the Lord and your relationship with God to shine through. So, like, as we talked about, it's going to be pretty hard to be a positive influence if you're not investing in yourself and in your relationship with God. And that is all I got. My lesson on influence. You guys, I was trying to gear something up to you guys that would just kind of point towards where you're at. Every day, you guys are dealing with people at school. You're dealing with social media and your devices. Everybody telling you to be one thing or do one thing and not do another and influence you in one way or whatnot. And for the most part, you guys, most of you are trying to avoid that influence try to be your own person, I guess. A lot of you come to church because either your mom and dad brought you or made you get out of bed this morning. But at some point, that decision is going to rest solely on you guys. You're going to have to be the ones that make that decision. What? So you're never getting out of bed? Well, hopefully our investment into you guys now and then also your guys' investment into your relationship with the Lord now, when that time does come, you will get out of bed and you won't want, or you will make the decision to come to church or to still be a part of the body. So that's it. I will pray and then I'll be done. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for just, again, allowing us all to be here. Thank you for just each and every one of these kids, God. Please just be with them as they live life. It's different times than what I'm used to when I was growing up, but I know it's not easy. I know there's just so many different directions in which the world can pull you, and you just oftentimes find yourself struggling with the path that you might choose to take. So God, just help them to know that you're the only path that they need to take. Help them to just invest in you, to die to themselves daily, and just to work on their relationship with you, God. Just bless the rest of the time that we have today. And I just ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.